today.
Everybody, coming up on this hour of America tonight, we have a missing governor from South Carolina who doesn't understand what all the fuss was about when he went underground for 6 days. Also, some questions surrounding that commuter train crash in Washington, D.C. Sadly, an outside chance that it could be linked to the fact that some of the trains should have been retired, and there's questions over whether or not the safety button worked, the brake button actually worked on the train. Of course, that's just preliminary thoughts by the National Transportation Safety Board. They're going through the wreckage and still piecing it together. It absolutely looks like it's a computer failure. So here we go again. Somebody brought up the idea of safety, suggesting it wasn't safe for some of the trains to be out there on the tracks, and look what happens, the worst disaster in that Metro line's history in D.C. that ended up with 9 people being killed and so many others, more than 70, injured in various ways, broken legs and other limbs and incredible gouges, etc. In the meantime, another thing that we'll talk about on this show is the latest from the other not Ahmadinejad, who's just laying in wait to see what happens in Iran, as he is the president and continues to be the president according to the election results that were blessed in a way by the supreme leader. However, the opposition's still fighting in the street. In the meantime, the other nutball, Kim Jong-il, is really testing the waters, so to speak, with a boat loaded perhaps with weapons, illegal weapons or weapons of, we'll call them, mass destruction, that are a no-no from the UN's standpoint and, of course, the United States as well. So the U.S. has a destroyer shadowing the boat in question. How does this end up? I have a feeling it's not going to end well, but what does that mean? It means that somebody's going to have to stand up in a big way in Asia and jump on board, and certainly it won't be just the United States. In the meantime, a couple of other sad things. A military jet pilot died in a crash on a training mission. You hate to hear stuff like this. I'll have some of the details on that. After all, America Tonight is about what's live, what's happening, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to shove somebody in the dungeon, and we have a daily salute, which is a perfect time for me to remind people listening in Kentucky, in Iowa, in Illinois, in the great state of Connecticut and Michigan, and down the line, all of the fabulous affiliates we have. If you know somebody in your area who deserves a big shout out for something that they're doing, they don't want recognition, they a volunteer and they volunteered forever in a soup kitchen or helped a family or did whatever it is that they did, they deserve to be recognized, let us know, and maybe they'll get the daily salute. If you've listened to this program ever before, you know that the daily salute can go to anyone. It could be somebody who does something heroic in the military. It could be a celebrity who did something that you had to recognize, and it wasn't for some crazy album they cut or for somebody that they fooled around with or whatever it might be, or for something they exposed. But it could be almost anyone. The only thing, the only requirement is that it's worth noting. It's worth putting the spotlight on them for that particular thing. So if that fills the bill of anyone that you know, my requirements, wherever it is you're listening, definitely send me the information, americatonight.net. Let's start with the commuter train in D.C., because it's horrible to see those images, and I'm sure by now this is radio, but I'm sure many of you have probably flipped on the news, and it almost looks like, sadly, and I hate to say this, but if you go to the lot at Warner Brothers, if you go to Universal Studios, they have a setup where you can see different movies they've filmed, and they actually have a sequence of trains crashing for a movie, for one of the movies of the past. It might have been Towering Inferno or Earthquake. I think it was Earthquake. But anyway, it looks like it doesn't look real. And it is real, very, very real. So real that I just described the people that were injured and what it was like. It just doesn't feel that way to see the one car on top of the other. How could this have happened? It was in automatic mode, the train was, but the emergency brake was engaged when the crash happened. It's a mushroom-shaped kind of button. It activates. It was found pushed down in the compartment, but the train plowed into a stop train ahead right at the height of rush hour on Monday, and it was absolutely devastating. And still on Tuesday, for fear that there would be somebody that wasn't accounted for, they were crawling around in the wreckage to make sure nobody was missed. Now, the train operator was a 42-year-old woman whose name is Janice McMillan. She was hired a couple of years ago as a bus driver and then became a train operator, I guess, this past or last December. And that's what happens. You start out apparently with this metro system in D.C. as a bus driver, then you move on to trains. They were looking at the cell phone and texting records to determine whether or not she was distracted before the crash. They don't have any word on that at this point, and they're just trying to figure out what could have caused this. She would work the late shift, apparently, and she would sometimes, some people say she would sleep at the metro offices. She would return later to work that day. Was it a case of her being too exhausted or something else? It really, though, is pointing to a communications error. Something in the cars even suggested that the cars were out of date and some of them needed to be retired, and there was a concern about safety. So is this the case? I mean, the current service, they say, takes $7 billion just to maintain it and keep the system running and reliable. So the aging rail cars have been a source of contention for a while. Now that there's been this accident, you can bet that there's going to be a serious examination of, was this the cause? Is that what happened in this accident? Because they only had one other fatal crash in that whole metro subway system, and it happened back in the 80s, and that was a derailment, right? So this is a disaster, obviously, to say the least. And ultimately, it's the why question. Is it because the car was too old and there's no money to do anything about the situation with emergencies, etc., the computer systems? People were worried they would fail, and voila, here you go. And this is serious because you think of the number of trips taken on these trains. They say it's going to jump up by almost 22% to about 1 million a day by 2020. So they got to pinpoint the cause anyway. Awful, awful stuff. Meanwhile, Air France, that crash that happened about a month ago, now the autopsies are suggesting the flight broke up in air. Promise we'll lighten the load a little bit later in the show. Coming up, more details on Iran. Hang with us, everybody.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. survivaloven.com. That's survivaloven.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V Online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
From Iran calls for more demonstrations to support Mousavi, who's under 24-hour guard, apparently. At least that's what's being released, whatever that means, 24-hour guard. So we'll give you all the bits and pieces of that. Plus, President Obama reacting, calling a news conference and gathering all of the Washington elite media and for the first time kind of hitting the situation in Iran probably the hardest that he ever has in the 2 weeks that this has been going on. Hey, speaking of presidents, it's interesting to, you know, when Nixon was in the White House, of course, everything was taped. LBJ had a system installed where things were taped because he wanted to know what was going on. He felt like it was important to have that record. So as, I don't know, partially for protection and for the history of it all, and et cetera. So LBJ certainly told Nixon, hey, everything's taped. We know the history of that, the Watergate tapes, et cetera. But now 150-some hours of tapes from the Nixon White House have been released. And wouldn't it be interesting to pore through all those? Some of them are common everyday conversations that he had about sports or with his wife, you know, almost anything that you can imagine. But there were glimpses into some other things, including this piece we're going to let you hear. And it's the conversation he had with Charles Colson. If you remember, he was one of the Watergate Seven. He was never charged with or actually got prosecuted for anything related to Watergate. But he was the chief counsel for Nixon from 69 to 73. And wait till you hear this. He really was a Nixon insider, no doubt. And in this particular clip that we have, you'll hear what Colson and Nixon are talking about. And this is, I want to say, 9 months maybe a little shorter than that, before the end of the Vietnam War. So check this out.
We need heroes, Bob. The country needs heroes. You know, it's a curious way.
They got them now.
These are heroes, aren't they?
Oh, boy.
And in a way, too, can you imagine if they had come back, if we had simply, the Beesniks had suggested, gotten them back for a bug out, they wouldn't come back proud and saluting. They'd come back a little bit disgraced. But now they came back to a country that with honor, you know, though. Don't you agree?
Oh, my God.
You know, after all the business you and I have taken through the years, it makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
Oh, boy. Oh, it's a thrill. It's just a thrill.
And the main thing is, apart from the personal thing, Bob, it's so good for the country. The country could not lose this war. We had to win it.
They did for this country, you know, this. And it emanates from you, your strength. You know, your strength and how right you were.
You could talk, Bob, to these people about, let's be proud not only the POWs, but proud of the 2.5 million guys that served out there, these men that, it was a tough war and the rest. I'm proud that the United States came out with the flag high fly. I think that the idea, you know, remember, I put the flag up, you know, today.
Yeah.
Mrs. Johnson agreed.
Right.
But I think the flag is flying high.
Yeah.
Let's say that, okay? Our enemies respect us. Our allies now trust us.
Didn't that sound?
All right, so what you heard there wasn't the Colson, because some of that was released, the Colson conversation, which was fascinating, too, before the Vietnam War. That was the lighter side and a conversation you could tell. If you listened closely to the beginning of that, I know that you all knew who that voice was. It was Bob Hope. It was a conversation he was having with Bob Hope. Because remember, Bob Hope was the ambassador who went and so many years through all the wars, went and entertained the troops and had a close relationship with all the presidents while he was alive, because he was there was no greater entertainer as far as the troops were concerned, because he tirelessly would put together great shows and go and visit whatever war zone that we happen to be in. But there are so many hours of this stuff that some of it having to do with conversations, like I said, with Colson advisors, some of them having to do with personal relationships with, you know, various people that called and family relations and all that sort of stuff. I think it'd be kind of cool, actually, to go through it and listen a little bit closer. And somebody, I mean, probably in all these big newsrooms, somebody is actually doing that and trying to comb through and see what they can come up with and see what they can pull from the tapes. Because when the tapes were released from the Nixon library, there was no transcript. So there's no transcript for any of the tapes whatsoever. Just boom, here's the tapes. So have at it. See what you can uncover in the tapes, what you want to hear, whatever, but no transcripts, which makes it an interesting task to go through it all. But can you only imagine some of the gems of little nuggets of information and various conversations that Nixon had? And remember, a lot of this was at the height of the Watergate deal and Vietnam and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, it makes sense, because since all the Watergate stuff was all out there, what's the difference for releasing the rest of it? But interesting timing in just releasing it. Hey, we have an update on Steve Jobs, by the way, the Apple CEO. He is apparently in a hospital. He's very sick. He's waiting for a liver transplant. This was a while ago. There was a report that said that he was dead, and it actually helped to tank the stock a little bit for Apple. And then he came out and said, look, the reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. And so a Tennessee hospital did release this, because there was a lot of curiosity surrounding Steve Jobs, that he was the sickest patient on the waiting list at the time of his liver transplant. So he did get that transplant, and he's now recovering, and they say he's doing well. But if you've seen any pictures of him, boy, he looked almost skeletal. So you knew he was just trying to fight and claw off whatever he could. But the liver transplant certainly should help Steve Jobs. All right, as I said, we were going to talk about Iran and let you hear, and we will do that coming up around the bend. Of course, the big news in our country, besides that horrible accident in D.C., is the President Obama coming out now and being much more direct, I guess, in his comments about the people protesting the election results of Ahmadinejad staying as the president of Iran. And these protests apparently aren't over, because if you believe anything that you hear on Twitter, which has been pretty accurate of people trying to leak information out, there are more scheduled protests despite the fact that police might be there, etc. And what the people are doing is they're trying to outfox the any of the police militia in Iran by heading to the rooftops or holding up banners in the middle of traffic, whatever it is that they can do, trying to find a way to somehow protest and keep things going. So the movement is still out there, and I don't think it's going to die down. And this will be 2 weeks at the end of this week. So can the people that want to see change keep it moving, keep it going, and will the crowds continue to, even at their peril, swell in the streets and fight to have a change in Iran? And I got to think the answer to that is yes at this point, because of some of the people that have been killed, some of the things that have happened, that now has just pushed the crowd further into demanding what should have been the true results of their elections. They supposedly have a democratic process in choosing who would be the president, and Ahmadinejad apparently was not the will of the people. But what does the supreme leader do with all this? What does the Ayatollah Khamenei do? Does he eventually pull back and stand with the people, or continue to stand with Ahmadinejad? I think that they're pushing the dates back for the election results. So, like I said before, this is more than interesting. What did Obama have to say? We've got it for you coming up around the bend.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%! We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
They say true love comes only once in a lifetime, and even though we're from opposite ends of the earth, my heart tells me you're the one for me. Mahmoud,
I remember when it started, saw you on the news. You were hating gays, I was seeing you too, but I was fearing you. And even though I disagreed with almost everything you said, you ain't wrong to me. So strong to me, you belong to me. Like a very hairy Jake Gyllenhaal to me. I'm in my chest. My mind says no, but my body says yes. The only threat I see is the threat of you not coming home with me. Our love for each other's like when atoms collide. Can't express how I feel, and yo, Adam, let's ride. The president, I ran. We ran together to a tropical island. My man, my mood is known for violence. Smiling, if he can still do it, then I can. They call you Weasel. They say your methods are medieval. You can play the Jews. I can be a Jim Caviezel. Wrestling. You can be the warp that I brought my vessel in. So I try to make you TV, but you can still see me with your silly brown eyes. But if you can't thighs in your hair, I'm good. Yeah.
Now, baby.
right, you gotta love that. Andy Samberg, and of course, famous for so many interesting song parodies and whatnot that he's done on Saturday Night Live, and that was one of them that, Matt Johnson dug out of the archives for us. Good job, Matt, on that. Always good to get a good laugh at someone else's expense, especially when he is the nutball Ahmadinejad. Right now he's in the power seat, still president of Iran. However, the protest that I was describing in the streets and another one scheduled for today to support Mousavi, this looks like a train that is going in a different direction than what this government is thought was going to happen. I don't think that they expected the protest. They didn't expect the people to do what they're doing now with the twittering and releasing videos and all this other sort of stuff, whichever way they have to, since there's no coverage, since there's a media blackout. So that's where all the information is coming from. Finally, today, was it because he was being criticized? Was it because he felt like it was time to say something because of some of the things that were happening in Iran, like the people being shot and killed, unfortunately, too many of them? Well, yes, there finally was some tough talk from Washington, but I think it's a little bit too late. And I think it's always in response, so it goes with that thing that I say so often on America Tonight. Could we please, in the Beltway, have action rather than reaction, even if you are the president of the United States? Here's what Obama had to say.
The United States and the international community have been appalled and outraged by the threats, the beatings, and imprisonments of the last few days. They've got some of the comments that I've made being mistranslated in Iran, suggesting that I'm telling rioters to go out and riot some more. There are reports suggesting that the CIA is behind all this, all of which are patently false. I think that all of us share a belief that we want justice to prevail. But only I'm the President of the United States. But I think, Chuck, that we don't know yet how this thing is going to play out. I know everybody here is on a 24-hour news cycle. I'm not.
Wow. So the president taking a shot at the media, saying that he's not on a news cycle, and that's what the deal is. Now, this young woman, Nita, who has become the voice or the symbol, if you will, of the Iranian protesters, boy, sad. I went back to see that video again to look at it, and it's just awful. She was a beautiful young woman in her mid-20s, and to see what happened to her protesting. You think of the protests that have happened in the United States over many, many things, because it's all about that, the freedom of speech, whether we agree with some of the things people are protesting or not. So picture a girl still very much in her prime with the rest of her life in front of her, just being shot like a dog in the street, falling over, and her father right there in hysterics at the end of it, as he realizes his daughter is dead, and you see the blood, and this is pretty graphic, but you see the blood in her face, and it's, wow, it is just powerful, powerful video. And I'm actually glad for once. You know, normally I'd say, wow, this is awful, and it is awful, but I'm glad that somebody was able to get that out, because I think that needs to be seen. Why did this young girl have to die for this when she was just like everybody else, trying to let her voice be heard, and not agreeing with the election results? And you know, they say that 17 people were killed, but it really could be much more than that. In fact, most insiders say, regarding what's happening in Iran, you can't trust any of the government information. Well, that's not a surprise that you're getting, and that it is a lot higher than the number that has been released. And there are other sad stories, certainly, but for this young girl's family and friends, and for her father to to be there and to see that happening and be powerless and not being able to do anything, I think that the family, friends, and the protesters are really propping her up, and they should. This beautiful young girl has become maybe even more than a symbol of the opposition, because her death was caught on camera, and there's no denying what happened to her. It's very obvious that she was not doing anything. She wasn't damaging anything, doing anything that would have warranted her being cut down in her prime that day, other than happening to be at the spot where people were protesting and catching that bullet, which normally you would think in a more civilized country, at least we thought it was more civilized, like Iran, that wouldn't happen. But that shows you the oppression that people don't realize that is going on there. And I think that's the thing. Benjamin Netanyahu said it best. You can see the repression coming out of the people. And absolutely, I would think that that's true. He had the best assessment of anything that I've read from any of the world leaders. So the people are tired of it. They're willing to risk it, knowing what could lie ahead for them, but trying to find ways to let the world know, hey, this is what's happening here. So we want you to see. We want you to see what our government's doing to us. Speaking of wanting to be able to see, everybody wants to see what's going on. What a transition, huh? Everybody wants to see what's going on with the South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. He's somebody that I was thinking had a really solid future in the Republican Party, but I would say he's killed that with this mysterious week-long hiking trip. Why would he leave South Carolina without having any kind of phone contact and notifying people of any of his whereabouts? Like even the lieutenant governor, his wife had no idea where he was. It was Father's Day weekend, and even if he was taken aback by what happened to him, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. You have one of the state senators questioning his mental state. I mean, this is a two-term Republican governor who's coming back to work on Wednesday. He has been, he truly embodies this word, incommunicado for 4 days. Now, of course, the people around him are scrambling. His spokesperson says that he was just taking a hike to clear his head. Yeah, clear his head. And the governor told somebody who apparently had called him that he was taken aback by the interest that his trip has gotten. Well, can you see why there would be interest in this? Think of any other state. Do you think Schwarzenegger disappears for 6 days and 4 days or whatever and nobody knows where he is, including his wife, and then they find his car in the Atlanta airport? This could be the end of the... Certainly, I think it's the end of the line for any political ambitions that would go further than the governor of South Carolina, unless there's some, as I keep saying, some sensible explanation for this. But, you know, what do you think? How do you... A little detour and going in the Appalachian Trail and... You know, I had to clear my head and abandoning the job. I'm going to say that you can forget any kind of presidential aspirations. That's not happening. There's no way. I'm just going to go frolic on the trail. Mm-mm. In an emergency, the lieutenant governor didn't even know he had to step in. My, oh, my. Any thoughts as to what this governor was really doing? 800-259-5791, America Tonight.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse,
but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
As usual, we're talking about a lot of different things here on America's Night. You can jump into the convo at 800-259-5791 or shoot me an email at americatonight.net. americatonight.net. Coming up, we'll tell you about Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon, dead at the age of 86. You think of the term sidekick, and he embodied that term, absolutely no doubt. Let's fly out to Mark, who's listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something about you had said about a civilized country with that woman getting shot, but we actually did that here in Kent State. We killed the 4 students that time, or National Guard.
Oh, I trust me, I know all about it. I went to school in Ohio, and that has to be one of the worst days ever in our history, absolutely. And there's, of course, there's other things, too, that have happened with civil rights and people being murdered. Yeah, I didn't mean to suggest that we haven't had that happen. When I made the comment about the civilized society, I guess it's that in Iran they have a veil, you know what I'm saying, and they keep the veil tight. And now we're seeing a glimpse behind the veil, and the supreme leader doesn't like this, doesn't want all this video and stuff out there where somebody's marching along, and then this beautiful girl is dead in the street in front of her father. That is absolutely something they didn't want to get out there. That's why they pulled the visas of the journalists and tried to throw this blackout into effect for the media, because not wanting to taint the, well, what image do we have in America of Iran, I guess, but not wanting to poison the waters anymore about that country. Because you have to think back to 79 and what happened. And remember, that was awful, the revolution that they had in 79. But it pushed forward, and of course they overthrew and booted the Shah of Iran as a result.
You know, we can almost accept men getting killed in war and whatever, but when it comes to a woman, I got to be honest with you, Kate, all bets are off at that point. And when those people are holding up signs, they're written in English, they're talking to us.
I know. And looking for help.
Yes.
Yeah, and looking for support.
Yes.
That's why I had the problem with Obama not coming forward stronger in the beginning. I mean, why wait as you barrel down that highway? We don't know what's going to happen there. He's right about that, of course. But at the same time, I mean, it's what we did in this country. We're a young country.
Right.
If we go back in our history, what if my ancestors, your ancestors, everyone in between didn't do what they did? Well, we wouldn't be where we are. We wouldn't have the freedom. I'm a woman. I wouldn't be doing a talk show. I wouldn't be doing it in another part of the world, for sure.
We wouldn't have a constitution, that's for sure.
That's right. Absolutely. And if somebody didn't have the wherewithal to risk it, and they did, you know, you read about the battles, you go to the old battlefields, it was grisly what happened, but
yes.
People were willing to do it.
Right.
And also women and kids were killed, too, slaughtered.
Yes, all the nurses in the wars.
Yes.
Yeah, God bless them all.
Yeah, I agree.
But again, that really hurt me. We got to, you know, again, when you do that to a woman, I mean, throughout the Bible, you lay your hands on a woman, you're asking for a lot of trouble. That goes directly to the old man upstairs, you know. Hits him right in the heart.
I agree. Great comments. Keep listening to us and call us again.
Thank you.
All right, because Nita is who we're talking about, and like I was trying to describe in my fumbling way, looking for the right words, and I think that Mark said it right, too. There's just something about her, and there's something about seeing that video. It's awful to see her then laying in the street, you know, just blood coming out of her head, and you can't imagine. I mean, of course, you think of a peaceful protest, thousands of people in the street, or hundreds of people walking along, and it just happens to be her. And unfortunately, her father is there as well. And I say unfortunately because then that's what he's got in his head, and he sees that happen, and he's helpless as that happens to her. But maybe she does become the spark plug for the big change to date in that country. Because this is, I think this is, doesn't feel like it's over. It feels like this is going to continue. And every corner, there might be someone standing there to try to shut down the people who are trying to get the word out. But they'll find a way, and it seems that this movement is really strong. You saw the soccer players in defiance with the green sweatbands, and now you've got the mullahs, too, that were at some of the protests. And so I think that this, there's no stopping this, that this is going to continue to go forward. And speaking of we're just talking about Obama and his comments and the strongest comments that he's come out with. Yesterday's show, we were talking about the fact that the president of France, Sarkozy, had no problem saying that he thinks the burqa is not acceptable in France because of what it symbolizes, not a religious symbol, but what it symbolizes for women, and that he's trying to outlaw it in France, and there's some opposition to that. But what a bold step for him to take. As I said, that was an incredible move by Sarkozy, and I hope that this is just the start of a movement, perhaps, to do something and change some of the things, that some of the atrocities that are going on behind the veil, as I, you know, just described it. I'm going to take a different direction because we haven't mentioned this yet, but I briefly said it there. Ed McMahon, who, if you list sidekicks, and there are a lot of different sidekicks you could, you know, list, but the traditional definition of a sidekick, I think he was that and a little bit more. Here's a comment of one of his colleagues, and of course the line that he's famous for. It's worth letting you hear that in remembrance of Ed McMahon.
He had a great laugh and a wonderful sense of humor. I'm the little brother that's left behind, and it's a lonely feeling.
And now, here's Johnny.
Yeah, so here's Johnny. It's almost like play-by-play guys in a different way. Play-by-play guys, Mark just called us from New York, and he's in upstate New York, but he might be a Yankee fan or a fan of some other team. every once in a while somebody comes along, whether it's in sports or whether it's in entertainment, and they have a line that gets the buzz, or even the, well, I guess entertainment movie industry, a line that sticks, you know, I'll be back, here's Johnny, the Grand Salami, etc. And that has to go down as one of the all-time biggest lines. It was picked up a ton and played on lots of radio shows and was even a line in a movie. And that was the way that Ed McMahon did it. Nobody told him to do it that way, and it just carried over for 30 years on The Tonight Show. Can you imagine? For 30 years working with pretty much the same people. So he was probably, like I mentioned before, one of the strongest ever second bananas. You might disagree. You can flip me an email, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. All right, time for the Daily Salute, and quickly, the Daily Salute to me would be one of the men killed in that Metro crash had a big role in 9/11. He was the guy who ordered the jets over the Capitol to scramble over the Capitol on that crazy day when people were trying to figure out what was going on. And he, sadly, and his wife, Anne, were both killed when the Metro crashed. And he was well liked by his colleague. He was one of those guys that was always willing to chip in. And like I said, on 9/11, when there was pure panic, he was the commanding general of the District of Columbia National Guard. And he was among those killed. He and his wife, retired Major General David Worley, and his wife Anne. And of course, they were killed along with seven others in the most deadly train crash in the history of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. So as they still try to piece that together, I guess if you wanted to, I don't know, it's morbid's not the word, but at least apparently they were a very close couple and had been together for a very long time. So at least they were together when this happened. But what an awful thing. A 40-year military vet served, as I said, as that commanding general from 2003 to 2008 after that. So what a sad tragedy. They're survived by a son who's a non-commissioned officer in the U.S. Army Golden Knight, and a daughter, and also a grandchild. See, there's always stories behind any kind of a tragedy.